chiuso. Ma questo. And you're staying at a distance away.
For half an hour.
The yacht house.
Yeah.
The yacht
club. Yacht hotel.
Huh?
The yacht club.
Lots of yacht clubs around here. So it's on the lake. Anyway, that's it's good. Yeah, everything's booked right now. Hey, Shamju, Ostamoid Basil and Kutan, Isla Serveluk Basilak. Well, I don't remember when Goswami Maharaj was here. He came Janmashtami, two consecutive Janmashtamis, and then he came Janmashtami, and then afterwards he came back for Radhastami as well. And you've read it down. You know, I first got to know him in 1975, and we had quite intensive and intense association, but the most that I learned of him is, or at least a certain aspect of him, that I really, really didn't know. And I don't know, somehow or another, he didn't vocalize it, he didn't express it, was those months from, in 1977, that he was taking care of Srila Prabhupada. And that was from February until of course November 14th, when Prabhupada left the world. And I don't know if you've listened to those recordings.
This one.
1977. Prabhupada.
Yeah.
There's 400 recordings. Yeah, you have to download them. It's for the whole month of 1977. Prabhupada doesn't. There's a few lectures on there. It's not about lectures. It's just about Prabhupada. It's no longer giving Bhagavatam class or things like that. But rather Prabhupada's interacting with his disciples. 400 recordings. I don't see anyone really registering with them, but you can download it from archives, Bhaktivedanta archives. It's a lot. And I've listened to that. I'm listening to it the fourth time. It takes me about a year to get through it, and you'll see that 75% of it is Prabhupada and Tomar Krishna Maharaj, and it's a different aspect of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's planning to leave the world. And he's fasting to death. That he didn't say that in so many words, but that's what he ended up doing. Prabhupada stopped eating, and at a certain point he stopped drinking. And Tomar Krishna Maharaj went to Srila Prabhupada to be his secretary. Now that much. We talked about that in Cambridge. Told me how, you know, he really felt inspired, that Krishna was inspiring him, that he should actually make more full-time commitment, because at that time, GBC's Prabhupada system was that GBC can come and spend 1 month with him as a secretary. So Tamal Krishnaj wrote to Prabhupada and suggested that he be the permanent secretary, and whoever else GBC comes, that they just be the assistant. And so that's what happened, and he wrote Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, yes, come. And as I said before, you know, Goswami Maharaj didn't, although, you know, we talked and he didn't hide anything from me, but in terms of just how sort of intimate that relationship was and what he was doing for Prabhupada, it comes across when you listen. When you listen to these recordings. And and it's not just someone, you know, Prabhupada's interaction with disciples as Prabhupada did before, but actually what's happening is that Prabhupada is putting himself in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's hands. And other devotees, you can see, I've been listening to these for like the last 5 years. So it's really, for me, it's very fascinating because it's a whole different facet, aspect of Srila Prabhupada that you don't really see or pick up elsewhere. And the main, I mean, Prabhupada's the main player, but you know, the co-star is Goswami Maharaj, because everything's happening between the two of them, or everything's happening around Prabhupada, and he's the one who's assisting. Bhakti Chiru Maharaj and Abhiram Prabhu, who is Prabhupada's nurse, and when we were in Harmony, remember Harmony? And I was there with what were the names of those two devotees who were there? Well, it was Sahasrangi, and then there were those two. Who? No. There was just five of us there. But Jai Gopal, is that his name?
Jai Gopal
and his friend.
Rancher?
I remember they came together, they joined in Chicago, and then they moved down. Balaram, Jai Gopal, me, Sahasrangi, and thank you. And who was Prabhupada's servant? Passed away, and he lived there. What was his name? I'll remember in a minute. Anyway, he was telling me. I need to just try and get this information. I don't like forgetting things. Prabhupada's servant. I'll remember. That no one had that type of relationship. Prabhupada really put himself into Krishna Maharaj's hands, and then any time there was any any question, any issue, he would just say call tomorrow. Prabhupada wouldn't do anything, he wouldn't go anywhere. And then even this whole sort of last adventure to the UK, which wasn't meant to be the UK, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was encouraging Prabhupada because Prabhupada was getting depressed in a transcendental way of just having to be in one place, never being able to go anywhere. That wasn't Prabhupada's style, just sitting still or being in bed. And so Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, why don't you go visit your disciples, do a world tour. Devotees really thought it was first, you know, outrageous, but Srila Prabhupada got really enlivened by that, and it came as far as the manor, and then Prabhupada got sicker, and he had some problems, and so he went back. He said, "Take me back," and he came back to Vrindavan. So I think you need to investigate that. I'm surprised that sort of draws a blank that you haven't listened to these things. These are really a unique experience. Number one, in knowing Srila Prabhupada, but number two, in connecting with Goswami Maharaj and seeing what a very unique role, and how Prabhupada really took advantage of his organizational ability, his intelligence, and so on, to assist him in this last phase of. And there was no one who was in that league, or who did that same type of thing, or who was trusted or depended on in the same way. It's a very very special. I listen for these two reasons. One is because it's a certain part of Goswami Maharaj's role that he didn't elaborate on so deeply in my relationship with him, and the other one is because it gives a real different picture of Srila Prabhupada. And you can get both of those things are important and really relevant. Upendra. When we were in harmony, Upendra was the cook. So Upendra was cooking, and you know, we'd go out and cut down trees in the morning, and then come back, and he'd be rice, dal, sabji, chapatis. And while he was giving the hot chapatis, he would just constantly be talking about Prabhupada. So he's also... devotees who were there, they saw that. They saw that sort of unique relationship. And Prabhupada had sort of unique relationships with other devotees in different ways, according to... With Tamal Krishna, she was always in Vrindavan. He was in the room next door. In Mumbai, he was in the room next door. And with, you know, Abhiram Prabhu, who I just met in Udupi while I was there, he was Prabhupada's nurse. And he found that very comical, him being a nurse, because he was not a nurse, he knew nothing, and neither did any devotees know anything. That was sort of one aspect of Prabhupada's leaving this world, is that there were no specialist doctors. I'm talking to Shruti, who's got like an army of doctors around them, different types of doctors for different types of things. Prabhupada didn't want doctors. He wasn't really interested in medication. And he put himself in the hands of his disciples. And it wasn't that his disciples were qualified therapists, nurses, doctors, carers, or anything. But Prabhupada had faith. He knew that his disciples loved him. And he didn't want to, and that they, that Krishna would act through them, and that he didn't want anything else. And I was in Vrindavan 40 years ago, which was a very, very austere place. It's an austere place now. But 40 years ago, it was even even more austere. And I was very, that's a very, you know, well, you think about it, it's going to happen to everybody. What are you going to do when you die? How many hospitals, doctors, operations, and so on? Nothing. Prabhupada wouldn't let doctors take a blood sample. He wouldn't let him puncture his skin. And Prabhupada just completely depended on Krishna. And Krishna was his only medicine. If Krishna wants to cure him, fine. And if not, then everyone has to go. But he really depended on his followers. And one of the things which Srila Prabhupada repeatedly says over and over again is that whatever happens, never take me to a hospital. Don't worry about me dying. It's not a big thing. And don't take me to a hospital. And he like drills this into devotees, but especially to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So there's a couple of times when Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he's like in a, it's a little more heated, where Krishna says, Prabhupada, don't worry, you would never do it. Never. And Prabhupada's almost reacting as if they are, just in order to elicit more response and to really really brainwash devotees and really make it very deeply clear to them that very interesting. It was something that Abhiram Prabhu told me, that Prabhupada had told him. I told you he was Prabhupada's nurse. So he would sleep by Prabhupada's bed. So Prabhupada was sleeping on the bed and he would sleep beside the bed. So at night, sometimes Prabhupada would put his hand down to see that he was there. And so with him, Prabhupada told me, he says, never leave me. So just always stay by my side. And so Prabhupada had put himself in the hands of his devotees. And that was... that was Prabhupada's care. He really wasn't concerned about much else. And the person who really orchestrated things and who actually gave direction, and not only to devotees, but even Prabhupada knew what should we do. And Kamal Krishna Maharaj had that very sort of unique service and unique position. So that I'm just saying that because that's something that I'm just sort of coming in contact with recently since Goswami Maharaj's departure. And you know, we had a lot of times together, whether it was in Chicago or even before we had interaction, but Chicago or Texas, and then when we came to the UK and India and other places. But this this feature or this part, it really makes you really get to appreciate a very special aspect of Goswami Maharaj that otherwise you won't know. At least he didn't talk about so much. He said that it was going on. But to the extent that it was going on, you can really appreciate it if you listen to these recordings. So she gave me 1977. They start with Kumbh Mela, and Mumbai, and then Kumbh Mela. Anybody have any questions or anything particular that we should talk about?
Was the last time that you interacted with Gurudev any different than any of the other times?
No, GBC meetings, and we're having kirtans in the evening in his room. That's right. And then from there, it just became too packed. And so the night before he left Mayapur, it was downstairs in the temple room. And we had lunch that day. And I said, what time are you leaving? And it's something like 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, that's crazy. What are you doing? You're leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know, it had to do with his flight and travels. And so we had kirtan the night, but because he was leaving early, so he left early. And the last was, I was chanting. We were in front of Panchatattva. And at that time, I guess there wasn't even big Panchatattva, it must have been just little Panchatattva. And we were chanting, and he just sort of walked out and waved, and I waved back to him. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to see you off at 3 o'clock in the morning. But there wasn't anything different or... We had lunch as usual.
Jayadev Prabhu in the UK is rather than incident.
We
laid down together.
Where? We lay down a lot. In different places.
In this particular one, you took your hand and put it on his heart.
Oh.
He told us we should ask you to relate that.
Oh, that was lunch. I mean, usually we'd have lunch. And that was in his quarters, and at that time, my room was a couple of rooms over on the same floor. And then usually I would just go in there and rest. So I can't remember what it was or what year, but anyway, not rest, and then afterwards he said, wait, I want to talk to you. So then we went into, there was the living room where we'd have lunch, and then went into his sort of office bedroom, and sort of sitting there, and then he just said, okay, I guess I need to lay down and rest. And I said, okay, I'm gonna go. I can't remember. He was upset about something. And then I said, okay, I'm going next door. I'll see you upstairs. And he said, no, just stay here. I said, I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna be able to sleep in the same room with you. I can't sleep if there's... He said, no, you gotta stay here. I said, where do you want me to lay down? He said, lay down on the floor. I'm gonna lay down on the floor and you're sleeping on the bed. Anyway, I lay down on the floor. And then he said, give me your hand. And then so I gave him my hand. Of course, he wasn't going to, he couldn't sleep. He wasn't a very good sleeper. And And then, but I stayed there, and neither of us went to sleep. It was very hard to sleep in the same room as him, because he was just so intense that when we were, when he came, before he actually started going to university, then he came to the UK just to sort of check it out. And at that time, a candidate was looking into getting a visa for him. And I was just traveling. I was doing one of my tours of just GBC, of UK, Ireland. And so I said, okay, I'm going to come with you. I said, wait a minute, what do you mean you're going to come with me? He says, we'll travel together. So I'm just traveling in the motorhome. And this is when he was actually working on Brahma Samhita. And the reason he got, because I started writing about creation, and we're doing the same thing. Only he was approaching it from Brahma Samhita, and I was approaching it from Bhagavatam. And I said, I just, at that time I didn't have a motor home, I had a caravan and a price. I just live in the caravan. He says, how are we going to live? He said, well, we'll lift again in the caravan. I said, that's not going to work, us living in the caravan, you know, it's 5 yards long and 2 yards wide, and we're going to be together, we're going to sleep together in the same space. No, it's okay, let's try it out. So we went to Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool. Actually, Liverpool, after we left, finally by the time we got to Liverpool, I remember in Liverpool we were, because we'd always have to park the caravan somewhere, and I'd usually look for a park. And he was very annoyed because I have deities in the motorhome, so I had to toilet out. He only found that out once we were on the road. He says, wait a minute, you mean I can't use a toilet here? I said, no, there's no toilet. He says, well, where do we go? I said, well, you just let me know, and want them, we'll stop on the motorway and use the toilet. And then at night, he's waiting at Shivram. I said, where do I go to the toilet? I said, Maharaj, we're in a park, just go out the door and go in the bush somewhere. He says, this is crazy. I'm sorry, we got deities in the motorhome. There's no toilets in this place. Anyway, sort of, but in Liverpool, it was just, you know, he was on one side of the motorhome, I was on the other, and I couldn't sleep. So, you know, at like midnight, he would say, Shivram, you sleeping? I said, how could I sleep? I can't sleep if you're in the same place. You're just too active. You're not asleep, so I'm not going to be able to sleep. So finally we agreed that wherever we were, he was staying in the temple and I was staying there. And when we left Liverpool, as we were actually driving, I guess there were mobile phones by that time, we must have been headed for Ireland. From Liverpool on the ferry, and that's when Jai Takumaraj got attacked in Spain, when that guy slit his throat. So then we turned around and we got on a plane and flew to Spain together for about 4 or 5 days, and then we came back and continued the trip. We lay down in doing parikrama, Navadvip Mandal parikrama, kirtans, and then just lay down. At least that was very nice when we were going and staying in tents, and that was really special. But then I made a point of wherever he was, wherever his tent was, my tent was on the other side of the camp, because he was just like, you know, call at all times of the day or night, but especially then it was more, I knew that if we're too close, then I just wouldn't be able to get the rest that I needed. And he didn't mind. Our relationship went, you know, from his being older godbrother to just being friends, and he was he needed that a lot more than being he was more or less everybody's older godbrother. And he's really his absence is really felt. I mean, it's felt in many ways, but one way that I see is on the GBC body, is that there's, you know, there's no GBC men now. There's Rai Pitak Maharaj is there, but he's there in a very limited way because of his health issue. And even then, Rai Pitak Maharaj's relationship with Prabhupada is very personal, intimate in a certain way, but not as whole as I would say as with Goswami Maharaj. So there's no one now on the GBC who is Prabhupada's disciple, who had that type of training and guidance by Srila Prabhupada, who would say on a certain point, my conviction is that this is what Prabhupada would say, or Prabhupada did say on this particular topic. And that's something that's really missing. And it's going to be missing more and more as devotees leave the world. And they're leaving, and they're going. It became a very very sort of an intimate relationship. And I would just call him any time of the day if there was something to be discussed, or particularly for some guidance. He very much liked that when people actually came to him. And of course, I don't know if you saw that, but that was a very, it was one of those things, it was very much part of his makeup, that if he was thinking about something and needed to take a decision, he would consult. I don't know anybody who consulted so many people. And then he would just, you know, call people different times of day and different devotees who he consulted, and, you know, what should I do now? And I remember when we were in, I was in Vrindavan, Govinda Maharaj was there, and someone else was there, and that's when he phoned us from Texas that he had the prostate cancer. And so, what do you think I should do? I think you should have an operation, or it's really hard to say from such a distance, what to speak of something on a medical issue. But he would always bring together four or five godbrothers. And he would argue things, argue different points of view, ask people why, and that was for me. He was the person who taught me to think. I didn't know that that was part of life until I really met him. And so he would ask me something. What do you think about this? And I say, I think this. And he'd say, why? Why? There must be a reason why that thing. So why? Why do you think that? And then say something, and then he'd say, and why do you think that? And why do you think that? Isn't it? In other words, and that was what he, one of the things that he really imbibed from Srila Prabhupada. And the Srila Prabhupada, as Prabhupada wasn't satisfied with people's opinions, he really wanted to know that things were grounded in real reason, shastra, knowledge, and therefore he wanted, there always had to be a why, and things had to be very sound. And that was one of the sort of most valuable things that I learned from him, this thing of actually thinking things through, not just feeling, not just reacting, and then doing that myself. Well, if I decide to do something, but why? And what's the consequence? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what are you going to do if this happens? And what are you going to do if that happens? And do you know? And have you got the facility? And have you got the manpower? And what about the money? And what about this? And what about that? And that, particularly when we were working on harmony, and I was in charge of all five of us, well, four of us, because there was five of us all together, along with the two big mules, and that was those big mules. So when we first got those mules, you know, Sarangi, he would like sort of go off looking for implements, horse implements, which were out of date. So they were, you'd have to find them and then get blacksmith to really renovate them. Anyway, once he went off and he came back with these two mules, which were crossed between mules and these Belgian horses. So they were enormous. They were like, I don't know, 6-7 feet at the shoulders. And they were very wild. And so, you know, Goswami Maharaj came to Harmony, and Sarasarangi had hitched them up to this wagon that he got, and he was going to take Goswami Maharaj for a ride. And Goswami said, "What do you think?" "You want to get on it, it's up to you, but I'm not getting on it, and I advise you not to." I says, no, there's no problem, it's okay, look. And the animals were standing there, and then Sasarangi got up into the wagon. No, he didn't get up, he started to step up onto the wagon, and Goswami Maharaj was going to go. And the animals got spooked, and these were huge animals, and they reared up, and he tried to control them. He couldn't control them, and it was like something out of a cartoon. They just started running down. I mean, Harmony was big; it was 1,200 acres. They just went running down this dirt road, and this wagon was like flying in the air behind them, And then, you know, that means that Sasarangi get this typical grilling. You wanted me to get on that thing, telling me that everything's okay. It was really, really funny. And probably the other one of the most important things was he taught me how to eat and what to eat. You know, what did Prabhupada eat? How do you eat? How do you serve? What are proper tastes? What are good things? What are bad things? So when Sarvabhauma Prabhu was the cook, I used to rib him. I said, "Listen, I've got so many good cooks here in England. Why don't you just let me bring someone here for you?" He said, "Listen, Sarvabhauma's got the bhakti. He's got the devotion. And I know he's got the devotion, but I don't know about his cooking skills." But still, he was insistent, and that was he really taught me how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, and that was very important, because up until then it was just taking prasad and. So he's a really, really wonderful person, and really very major influence in my spiritual life in terms of God brothers. Hey, did you see Govinda Maharaj?
No, I saw him, but I haven't spoken to him very much.
Uh-huh. Oh, I saw him wandering off somewhere here. He'll show up. He may show up on the other side, but I saw...
Actually, Maharaj is there.
He's where?
Yeah, under the tree, next to the...
He's over there. Maybe you should go see him. He's sort of upset about his foot.
Okay, good.
Or it's giving him trouble. What's the plan now for the group? Okay.
Well, one time he was here and then he came to Houston and he was so happy visiting Hungary and he instructed us to come. That's the reason, one of the reasons we are here. Can you tell something about here? Any, if you remember, any particular thing happened when he was here?
We didn't have as many houses. He stayed in the same house I'm staying now. I think that was the second time. He stayed upstairs with me. I have one room, and then there's the guest room where Govinda Maharaj is staying. And the other time, he stayed down here in the room, and there was Giridhari Maharaj and Bhakti Vikipurna Maharaj and Nilanjan Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj. There was a lot of devotees, and mostly that was Jamasa. Mostly we just had kirtan, he was just dancing and chanting. So really, that was all that was going on. And then I would get him to do midnight arti. He would do the arti, and I would hand him the different things on the altar. And even now on Janmashtami's, we always take out, I have a big picture of him in the house. And so we put that out. And then he would do midnight arti, and we would... Take prasadam in Srinadev's temple. All devotees would come out to the tent, and that was all that really went on. It was just the festivals. And festivals really mean. And he loved Radhe Shyam, and was. That's why, and that was on the second year. He came Janmashtami, and he came back for Radhashtami as well. So I was in 2 weeks. He came back twice. And he told devotees, encouraged devotees from the UK come and visit. And he would give the class on Prabhupada's appearance day.
I was very happy about the boat. The altar was decorated with a boat, and like the other Samsundar was in the boat.
Yeah.
It was pleasing, like anything. That's very nice, the backdrop.
And then there were different, that was sort of the scene or the setting or the leela. And he really enjoyed that. Oh, that's right. He lost his... Oh, that's right. I had to give him clothes, right? Yeah. Yeah, he arrived. You can imagine. But he was... But he didn't have his... So he was here with nothing. So, yeah, I gave him clothes, right? Yeah, I had to... So he was wearing my clothes, but then they delivered it, right? Were you here with him at that time?
He came in the car, and before he got here, he was really upset at me.
But you were, you came with him.
A group of Torah Shemini came.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just kind of humorous, and he was such a meticulous perfectionist, and he had like several types of duties for different functions, and, you know, he came to the town that time just, like, very humble position. He might be finally accepted, but he would totally be so confident.
We would, on a couple of occasions, at least one occasion I remember, when we were on Rath Yatra, London Rath Yatra, and that's when he was then living in Cambridge, Oxford. He would come for Rath Yatra, and then we would do kirtan, and after kirtan, then I think we did that twice in a row. Then we would sit under the cart and eat, and under the Rath cart, and then have prasadam there. I should speak with some other devotees and let you go on to kirtan. We'll have kirtan there, and then you'll stay till Monday.
Monday morning.
Anyway, thank you very much for coming, and I didn't get any impression that anything was going to happen, or that he had any particular plans or any idea. All I know was that next morning at right after Mangalartik, someone came up to me and said that there was an accident, and that he was in an accident. We just thought it was an accident. And Jai Pataka Maharaj was chanting Gayatri, so I went and tried to get him to stop chanting Gayatri. And he stopped. And I told him, so we just immediately got into the van, and we went down the road and got to the car, and from the car then we went to what's the name of the town?
Puglia.
Where the hospital was. I'll remember. And that was already, it was myself and Jai Pataka Maharaj and Govinda Maharaj, and I don't know who else was in that first load. We were the first ones there. So it was Krishna had some plan, and Prabhupada had some plan. And we should never think that it's not happening to us. It happens to everybody. Just a question of time. And we need to be ready. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jai Goswami Maharaj ki jai.
Ram Maharaj ki
jai. Bhakti Vrinda.